See you, man. Awesome. Well, it's so good to be here with you guys. It's, amen. What a beautiful camp. Hallelujah. Well, you know, we're here gathered from, you know, different areas and different states, and but the real issue is how much God loves you and how much He values you and how much He wants a good life for you. And, you know, earth is a hard place, and I dare say every person in this room has experienced a great deal of pain, even as a young person. It's this is a fallen world, and it's very challenging. And whatever pain you've been through, whatever challenges that you faced, the beauty of the Lord is that He has the ability to work all things together for your good. And, you know, I'm going to share some of my testimony tonight and just kind of introduce myself a little bit and, you know, just share some of the things that I've been through. But God's a healer, and He's a healer of broken hearts. He's a healer. He's a healer of physical bodies. But all of it comes down to how much He loves you. And what that means is, you know, it's easy to say, well, I love you, love you, love you, you know, love you. And but not really understand really what it means. And the type of love that God has, it's a different type of love. It's not a conditional love. And it's not a love based upon what you do. It's very important for, you know, really everyone in this room to understand that God loves you, and he loves you just the way you are. Man, can we hook the crowd up with some fan? I feel like, you know what I'm saying? Y'all want some fan love? I feel like y'all need that. Well, does that improve the quality of these people's life? Amen. Do you guys want to move on this side? You can. There's plenty of room. I'm not opposed to it. It'll make your life better. Fear not. Yeah, come on, brother. What's your name, man? What is it? Caden. Nice to meet you. I like you, man. You're cool. And you're smart, too. All these people. What are y'all doing? Come on. Move to the cool side. What's that? Who? Where? All these people? Oh, dang. He's talking some smack, isn't he? Who is in his church? How many people? Who are the people in his church? All right. Are you guys ready? We are going to pray for him. And we are going to cast out the spirit of cowboy. Anybody, can we set this man free from the Dallas Cowboys? Can I get an amen? I think, he says no. He says no. I know he is. I saw their vehicles when I pulled up. All right, everybody stretch forth your hand right now in the name. No, I'm just kidding. I know everyone else is Chiefs fans, right? Chiefs fans? Well, we need to switch gears out of that lane. Hallelujah. That's funny though. But anyway, you know, God, He loves you just the way you are, not as you should be. And His love it's an unconditional love. And what it does is it actually reveals your value and your self-worth. Because as humans, it's easy for us to get our sense of value and our sense of self-worth from the opinions of people. How many know you can't get everybody in this room to like you, right? And, you know, what people think about you is not what really determines your value. And the sooner that you can get a hold of that as a young person, the more it's going to set you free, and it's going to set you free from being controlled and manipulated by peer pressure. How many know that what people think about you is not as important as what God thinks about you, right? And I'm telling you, God loves you, and you don't have anybody in your life right now that loves you more than God loves you. And he knows your down sitting and your uprising. He knows your thoughts afar off. He knows everything about you. He knows how many hairs are on your head. He knows every mistake that you'll ever make. And he still chose you and he still wanted you, and he still paid the price for all of those things because he values you, right? And what he wants is he wants a really close, intimate relationship with you where you can hang out with him and you can be friends with him and you can know him. And what's the cool thing about God? How many of you know God created all this, right? And so as the one that created all of this, God actually knows how everything down here functions. And so he knows how to win. He knows how to overcome. He knows how to have good friends. He knows how to be set free from depression. He knows how to be set free from addiction. He knows how to be happy. Do you know the word blessed means to be happy? Anybody want to be happy? Yeah, man. I was in pursuit of happiness because I think we all want to be happy. And, you know, my background, I was not raised in church. And, you know, my dad was a drug addict and was an alcoholic and was an atheist. And my mother was an alcoholic and was an agnostic, which means she didn't know if there really was a God or not. And so, you know, I didn't really have, you know, what you would say kind of like a church upbringing. And, you know, initially, there was just a great deal of pain in my life. My parents were divorced when I was 5 years old. And my dad didn't really want to have anything to do with me, you know, never pay any child support or never sought to spend time with me. He actually lived on the other side of the world. And then my mom really struggled with alcoholism, and she was really challenged. And so, you know, I had some really hard times as a young person, and it caused me to not respect authority and to have no respect for authority whatsoever. So nobody could tell me what to do ever. You know, by the time I was in fifth grade, they had put me in a soundproof desk in the back of the classroom. By the time I was in sixth grade, I had a probation offer. I'd committed several felonies and gotten in a lot of trouble, got kicked off of Eastern's campus where my mom was trying to go back to school. And then by the time I was in high school, I had two classes in high school they wouldn't even allow me to go into because I'd made the teacher cry so many times. And I just had a real chip on my shoulder towards authority, and I didn't want anybody to tell me what to do because I had learned from a young age, from my upbringing, that the adults didn't really know what was going on. And so that's what I was taught. And so I didn't have respect for authority, but I just wanted to be happy, you know. And so I looked at the church and, you know, what the church had to offer. How many knows we're here tonight? There's nobody in this room that's any better than anybody else. No one in this room's any better than anybody else. We all need Jesus. And I had spent some time around some Christians who acted like they were better than me and looked down on me and condemned me. And it really didn't cause me to want to draw near to God. It actually caused me to reject him. And so I looked at what they were doing, and they didn't look happy. And to me, they just had more rules. And I thought, man, I don't need any more rules. You know, I really want to have a good time, and I don't want anybody to tell me what to do. And so, you know, there is an enemy in the earth, and he is invisible, and his time is short, but he is trying to hurt you. And the reason he's trying to hurt you is because you're created in the image of God. And he can't do anything to God. God's already kicked him out of heaven. And so what he tries to do is he tries to hurt people that God cares about. And so the spirit of this world really is very focused on the youth. And the reason that the spirit of this world is so focused on the youth, because the devil is afraid of young people. Because all it takes is one generation of young people to get on fire for God, and the entire world will change. This is the term that I came up with at our camp, the seasoned people. You know, I'm just not trying to be the old people. Like, I'm not on board with that. We're seasoned. Some lightly seasoned, some more heavily seasoned, but we're seasoned, right? And but he's not really after those people. He's after you guys because he's afraid of what's down on the inside of you. And because anytime change comes, it always comes through the young people. And so most of popular culture, most of the music industry, most of the entertainment industry is geared towards the young people. What's popular and what the enemy's trying to do is he's trying to get you distracted pursuing something that you think will make you happy, but in the end doesn't actually make you happy. And so for me, you know, I looked at the church, I looked at these religious holier-than-thou Christians, and I didn't want to have anything to do with them, and they just looked like they had more rules. And I looked at the world, and what the world had to offer looked like freedom. It looked like, hey, man, you know, I can do what I want, sex, drugs, and rock and roll. You know, I'm going to, you know, just party. And, you know, that's what I did. I started having sex at a pretty young age, and I started, you know, drinking and doing drugs at a pretty young age. And then, you know, by the time I had gotten out of high school, you know, one of the challenging things about sin is you really can't contain it. It's like starting a small fire. You know, what if we start, we're not going to do this, but if we start, well, you know, Pastor Bill, it's just a small fire in the dorm. It's just a small one, but it doesn't stay there. It just continues to grow. And, you know, I never set out to be a drug addict. I just set out to have some freedom and have a good time. But that's where it landed me. By the time I was 19, I was full-blown drug addict. I was, you know, doing cocaine and just anything I could do to get high, I was doing, because I really was trying to escape myself. And I walked down that road, and the challenging thing, the Bible says that sin is pleasurable for a season. So if there was no element of pleasure in it, nobody would do it. But it is pleasurable for a season. When I first started partying and stuff like that, and my innocence was being destroyed, I actually was having a really good time initially. And because it felt like freedom, nobody could tell me what to do. You know, we were just kind of doing our own thing and we were partying. But then by the time I was 19, now I was actually a drug addict. And, you know, I had to do drugs every single day because it had developed into an addiction. And I wasn't just addicted to drugs. I was addicted to pornography. And I was addicted to lust. And it owned my life. And so what started out as something that appeared to be happiness ended up being just chains wrapped around me that destroyed my freedom. And I had to get high every single day. And that life, it just about killed me. It just about destroyed me. And it actually did kill some of my friends. I had some friends that died of drug overdoses. I had a friend that died of a methadone overdose. And I had a friend that actually OD'd on crack cocaine. And it's a rough, very difficult lifestyle. And, you know, I was just, at that time, I was miserable. And so, because there was an enemy that was trying to destroy me. Now, I'm sure most of you are, all of you are not anywhere near that level of stupid. But I just want to encourage you in the decisions that you make. It sets the stage for the path that you're going to go on. And for me, I was pursuing happiness, walking down that road, started out as a good time, ended up being misery. And then the thing that really got me was depression. Anybody here ever struggled with depression before? Man, thank you for your honesty. Thank you for your honesty. And I'll be honest with you, the depression was harder than the addiction. It was the hardest thing I'd ever faced in my life, because it was a battle that was inside of me. It wasn't a battle that was on the outside of me. And so, you know, I was, got prescribed medication, antidepressants and Paxil and Zoloft and, diagnosed as manic depressive and, you know, all these types of things, man. And the depression was awful because I just couldn't feel anything. And I could be in a room full of people, but I still felt alone. And it's because that darkness had just overwhelmed my thought processes, and it was absolute misery. And so that life was rough, man. And but what's awesome about God is no matter how many mistakes I made, no matter how many parties I went to, no matter how much I said I didn't believe in Him, how many of you still loved me? And He still wanted me, and He continued to call my name. And I just want everybody in this room to know that God, He's been calling your name your entire life. And through the sunset, through the sunrise, through the beauty of creation, through people, through camp, there's no accident that you're here. And He's trying to convey to you that He loves you and that He wants you and that He has a plan for your life. Everybody in this room, you have a call of God on your life. You have a destiny and you have gifts on the inside of you. And there is a tremendous amount of happiness in functioning in those gifts and having a relationship with the Lord. I mean, there's just so much joy that's in that. And so after I got out of high school, that summer, I decided that I was going to break up with my girlfriend because she was the only stability that I had in my life. And I was going to go be a drug dealer, and I was going to just be crazy over the course of that summer. And so I bought up all of the LSD in town. And some of you might know what that is, some of you might not. But I bought it all up, and I was gonna sell it, and I was gonna turn it for a profit. I wasn't gonna actually do the drugs, I was just gonna sell them. That was my plan. And so, but that summer, God began to draw my heart. Now you gotta remember, at this time I'm an atheist. I do not believe in God. I believe that God is for weak people that need a crutch. There's no such thing as God. I believed in evolution. I believe that, you know, I just did not believe there's a creator. And one of the reasons I didn't believe a creator is because of all the pain that I went through. I was tremendously emotionally abused as a child by my alcoholic mother. Like, she would just rip me to pieces for hours and hours and hours and then totally forget that she'd ever done it. Now, I don't blame her, because she was abused as a child as well. And praise the Lord, our relationship is restored. My mom got saved, and I'm so grateful for that. But if people don't put their pain on the cross, then they just pass their pain on. And a lot of times they don't know how. And so she really broke me on the inside. And I had other things that happened in my childhood. I was sexually abused. I was rejected, you know, by my father didn't want to have anything to do with me. So I'm carrying all this pain, and everybody's telling me about this God. And I'm like, well, man, if God's real, then he sucks, because my life sucks. And and if he really is a God of love, then why have I been through so much hell? And so I had this real chip on my shoulder towards God. And, you know, I said I didn't believe in God, but really deep down I was just mad. And, you know, and I can remember times when, you know, I would get drunk or something, I'd be at a party, and I would just yell up at the sky, "There is no God. You blankety blank blank," whatever. And really what was happening was I was just speaking out of that place of pain and hurt. And I really had a hard time believing that there was a creator. But that summer, God was wooing me, and he was calling me to himself. And what would happen is I would party all night, and everybody would go to sleep, but I would stay awake. And I would leave wherever I was at, whatever house I was at, whatever apartments I was at, and I would go outside and I would watch the sunrise. And it was just happening over and over again. God can speak to you in a lot of different ways. He can speak to you. One of the ways he speaks is through his creation, through nature. And I can remember there was one particular day where I'd partied all night, and you know, in order to prove to someone that I wasn't a narc, I took the drugs that I was trying to sell, and you know, just did all kinds of dumb stuff. And then that morning, you know, like I said, everybody was asleep, and I walked down to this park. It was called, the name of the park's Big Spring Park, and it's there in Kentucky. And I sat down on this bench, and I watched the morning wake the world up. I watched the sun rise. I watched just the beauty of this stream of water that was flowing, and just the sunshine coming in through the trees, the squirrels and the birds and all that type of stuff. And I sat there on that bench, and through creation, God spoke to my heart that there was a creator. And as I sat there on that bench, I stopped being an atheist. Now, I didn't know his name was Jesus. I didn't know who he was. But at that point, there was just a witness into my heart that there really was a creator. And so I was making a little bit of a transition out of atheism, and I was, you know, and the life that I was leading, I wasn't really happy anymore. I was starting to become very miserable. Sin can't make you happy for long. It can be pleasurable for a season, but there's always a price to pay, and sometimes the price is extreme. And so I can remember, and this is my experience with really coming to the Lord, I was driving down this road called US 60 where I live, and I was in my truck. And I was getting real tired of the life that I was leading, I was just dead on the inside. And I drove by this church sign, okay, and just a little church sign, and I've driven by that thing 1,000 times, and on the church sign it said, "Call unto me, and I will answer you, and I will show you great and mighty things that you know not of. And the scripture reference for that is Jeremiah 33:3. And it's like when I turned and looked at that sign, it was like that sign leaped off the sign there and just hit me in the chest. And it was like God's, because at that point I was really tired of the life I was leading. And God was just speaking. It was like God was saying, call unto me. Call unto me. And I will answer you. And I will show you great and mighty things you know not of. And so from that point, now God will find a lot of different ways to speak to you. There's a lot of different ways. All he needs is a contact point. But from that point, those numbers, 333, Jeremiah 33:3, that was my contact point. So I could be at a party, 3 o'clock in the morning, 3:33 a.m., and then all of a sudden, right in the middle of what I was doing, my face would turn right towards that clock, 333, and God was saying, call unto me, and I will answer you. Then I was be out riding around in the country smoking weed or something, and then the license plate in front of me, 333, call unto me. Or a friend, I would see a friend at a party or at a show or something, and on this shirt would say, 333, call unto me, call unto me, call unto me, call unto me. And at that point, the Lord was drawn on my heart. And I'm telling you, man, when God is drawn on your heart, you feel it with every fiber of your being. And a lot of times, a part of that drawing is you are tired of the life that you're currently leading. A lot of times, there's this catalytic moment of where you're wore out and you're tired, and what you're doing is no longer satisfying you and no longer making you happy. And that's where I was at. And what was happening to me is I was coming to the end of myself. And in that place of me coming to the end of myself, the Lord was like, I have a better life for you than this. I have a better life for you than this. And so for a season of time, that just kept happening to me over and over and over again. And then so finally, I thought, well, man, I'm going to go to that church, man. And so I did. And I rolled up in that church. And, man, I freaked everybody out. I think I was barefoot when I rolled up in there. And they were sweet people, thank you. They were sweet people, but they didn't really know what to do with me. But I remember I would go to the church, and I was still in the world and I was still doing crazy stuff, but the Lord was speaking to my heart. And eventually, I gave my life to the Lord, and I got baptized, and I got a haircut, and I got a suit, and I did all the cool stuff, and I started going to church there. And I really got born again. Now, here's the good news about getting saved is this. You only got to do it one time. Amen. How many know you're born physically one time? Well, you give your life to the Lord one time. And just as sure as you being born physically is powerful enough to maintain your life, you being born spiritually is the same way. You don't got to get saved over and over and over again. That's not biblical. So once I received Jesus as Lord and Savior, I was born again, and I was a child of God, and Jesus moved down on the inside of me. And the good news about that is he had given me a forgiveness that I could not tear up or mess up, because it was given to me in a new nature. If you're here tonight and you've received Jesus as Lord and Savior, you know what that means? That means you're right with God, because you're a child of God. Now, it doesn't mean you're doing everything right. How many know you can still make mistakes? But what it does mean is you're his. And Jesus said it this way. He said, my Father is so big and so powerful, no one can pluck you out of his hands. It's important to know that, because you're going to have good days and you're going to have bad days. You're going to have days when you do the right thing. You're going to have the days when you do the wrong thing. But once you're in the family, you're in the family. And that's good news, because what that does is that opens the door of relationship with God. Because I'm going to tell you right now, the time that you need God the most is when you've messed up the most. That's the time when you can experience love the best, is in your places of failure. Now, God doesn't want you to do dumb stuff, because he doesn't want you to get dumb results. But at the same time, when we do dumb stuff, how many of you still are dad? I got 3 kids, and I got a 19-year-old who came to this camp with me, and now he's in college. And I have a 7-year-old son, and I have a 4-year-old little girl. And, my 2 boys are a little bit more like my wife. I just praise God for that. You know what I'm saying? Hallelujah. Because my wife is even-keeled, level-headed, and wise. And I'm grateful for that. But my daughter is, just like me, man. And so, praise the Lord. I get a dose of myself. you know. And so she's real strong-willed, and she wants to do her own thing, and she loves chocolate. Amen? And I do too. Hallelujah. And so there are times, you know, when my daughter is eating chocolate, and man, she's got chocolate from the top of her eyebrow to the bottom of her chin, and chocolate under her fingernails, and chocolate, oh, she's only 4 years old, right? And, you know, and she may take that and go out and play in the dirt and stuff like that and get dirt and chocolate on her face and on her hands. How many know that just because her hands are dirty, it doesn't change the way I feel about her? How many know she's still my daughter? And I still value her and love her. My love for her is not how clean her hands are. My love for her is because of who she is. Right? And so it's important for you all to understand that his love for you is consistent and constant, and it's unchanging. And how many know Jesus did a good job on the cross? Can I get an amen up here in Missouri on a hot night Tuesday? Man, them tacos were good. Y'all got good camp food. I run a camp. And I'm going to tell you right now, my food ain't that good. My camp food is just cold chicken nuggets and fries, man. So if you ever want to come to Kentucky and cook for our camp, actually it's not in Kentucky, it's in Ohio, we'll be grateful because, man, praise the Lord, that taco was fantastic. But no matter what happens, you're not going to lose value in the eyes of God. And once again, Jesus did a good job. Now, what does it mean if Jesus did a good job? What does that mean? That means that all your sin was paid in full. Can I get an amen for the full payment of your sin? Amen. This part is so important because if you don't understand this, then it's going to be difficult for you to receive help when you need it. You have to know that he did a good job. His blood was enough, his death was enough, his resurrection was enough, and he did a good job. And so one of the things the enemy will try to do is he'll try to make you so conscious of your mistakes that you lose out on relationship with the Lord. Anybody here ever felt like God was disappointed in you? We all have, right? But I'm here to tell you something. God's never actually disappointed in you. See, you're dealing with a being that knows the end from the beginning. God knows every mistake you would ever make, and he still called your name. How many of you already picked up the tab on all your sin? God's not disappointed in you. He's not mad at you, right? It's very important to understand that. Just like I'm not disappointed in my daughter when she's covered in chocolate and dirt, I still love her. I still want her. Can I get an amen? And it's important to understand that you're not what holds God up in his opinion of you. Now, God is a loving father, and he will lead you and guide you in all truth, and he will correct you because he loves you. How many know if there's a snake out here and somebody's running towards a snake and Bill sees that person running towards a snake, how many know Bill's going to try to get them to stop? Stop! It's a snake! You know, right? And then if they keep running, he's going to get louder. Stop! Actually, you're going to see Bill running. That's when you know it's a snake. No, I'm just kidding. But how many know if you start to get really close to the snake, he's probably going to yell at you. Why is he going to yell at you? Because he loves you. And he doesn't want you to be hurt, right? And so I'm not saying that there's an absence of correction. Because God loves you, he corrects you. Because how many know sometimes correction is protection? Let me say it again. How many of y'all, sometimes correction is protection? How many of y'all, if you can't be corrected, you can't be fathered? And if you can't be fathered, you can't be led? You know how I found my way here? GPS. Praise the Lord, because God knows I could never find this camp on my own. Like, I am over the hills and through the woods to grandmother's house we go. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's like, but as long as I will receive the direction of GPS, I will be here. And when I take a wrong turn, how many of you know GPS will correct me and tell me I'm wrong, but it will redirect me, right? And so in the midst of God's love and his forgiveness, He brings about a correction. Why? Because he loves you and he doesn't want you to get hurt. He actually wants you to have a good life. But Jesus did a good job and your sin's been paid in full. And so you being a son of God, you being a daughter of God, it's something that's a promise to you and it's never going to leave. Your salvation is not fragile like eggshells. You've never met anybody like God before. You just haven't. I don't care how good your parents were. I don't know how good your pastor is. You've never had anybody love you like this. The only reason I'm standing here right now is because of how much he loved me. Because it was that love, he loved the hell out of me. He did. He did because nobody could tell me what to do. You know, like I shared with you guys earlier, teachers couldn't tell me what to do. Girlfriends couldn't tell me what to do. Police couldn't tell me what to do. You know, when I got out of high school, you know where I went? To jail. Because that's where you go when you won't listen to anybody, right? But God, after he saved me and loved me, he just kept loving me and loving me and loving me and loving me. I kept running and running and running and dodging and weaving and going back to doing dumb stuff over and over and over again. And he never gave up on me. And he never stopped drawing me. And I stand before you tonight. I love him. I really love him. But I only love him because he first loved me. And so now I've grown to a place in my life where I want to obey him. You know why I want to obey him? Not to get him to love me. How many of y'all, he loves me whether I obey him or not. He loved me when I was his enemy. But if I obey him, my life will be better. Not because of him, but because of my own choices. How many of y'all, God knows how to have a relationship? How many of y'all, God knows how to have a healthy body? God knows how to have healthy finances. God knows how to be happy. And all the instruction of Scripture is for the purpose of giving you a cheat code to life so that you know how to win and you know how to overcome. That doesn't mean your life's going to be perfect. There's no place in Scripture where it says that. You're going to have challenges. You're going to have storms. You're going to have giants. You're going to have lions and tigers and bears. You're going to have all kinds of junk down here on earth. But as long as you understand that God loves you and he's with you and he's for you, he'll actually lead you through every battle and you'll come out on the other side with a testimony every single time. And so, but that place of relationship is a place of knowing that he's never going to leave you and he's never going to forsake you. And then over time, he will actually teach you how to trust him. And that takes time. I mean, everybody in this room, your trust has been broken, right? And I'm sorry. Your trust has probably been broken by adults, friends, Christians, ministers, churches, teachers, coaches. Earth is hard. We don't do well as humans. And I'm sorry that all that's happened to you, but I want to tell you right now, he's not like that. And you can trust him. And he will help you, and he will lead you, and he'll guide you, and he's got a purpose and a plan for your life. And, you know, going back to my testimony, I got saved, but I went right back. I lasted about 6 months of actually really trying to serve the Lord. And then I went right back to that lifestyle that I came out of. And my challenge was, here's the challenge. When you get born again, God moves inside of you, and you become born again, but your head is still the same. And the only way you win is by changing the way you think. And that's why we have a Bible, and that's why we have scriptures, because as you renew your mind, you'll renew your mind to having a relationship with the Lord and then following his ways, and then your whole life is going to change. And so it took me a while to get to the place where I was ready to actually trust him with my life. And that meant allowing truth to change the way that I thought, change the way that I functioned in my life. And it would take me some time before that happened. And, you know, and I always jokingly say, I rolled into church in chains. I rolled out of church in chains. But slowly, those chains started popping off of my life. And I stand before you today. I've been totally free from drug addiction and alcoholism and pornography and depression for a really long time. Because of Jesus. And here's the thing. I have developed a taste for freedom. I don't want anything to control me. I don't want lust to control me. I don't want depression to control me. I don't want drugs to control me. I don't want me caring what you think about me to control me. I tell you what, when you get free from people and needing people to approve you, that's really when you get free. And the Bible says that the truth comes to bring freedom. And as free as you are now, you can actually get freer and freer and freer. And cycling back in, so eventually I became a disciple and I really started seeking after the Lord and following the Lord. And it was a messy journey, but God has just been so faithful. But I want to get back to this kind of final point, was he broke depression off of my life. And depression was the hardest thing that I ever faced. And God, I got so free from depression that God had to remind me that I was depressed so that I could share my testimony, because I actually had forgotten. And I'm telling you right now, there was a time in my life where that depression, I contemplated suicide because I didn't feel like I could get free from it. But God has happiness and joy for your life. And you don't have to be subject to your circumstances. And he brought freedom to me in that. And I believe God wants to bring freedom to people in this room to that tonight. But I want to share this other aspect of it, because I think it'll help you to understand God. You know, I really had a hard time believing in God because of all the things that I had been through, okay? But here's something important to understand. Everything that happens on this planet is not God's will. If you think everything that happens on this planet is God's will, you don't have a good God. It's important to understand that. How many know right now people are starving to death? How many know right now people are being killed? How many know right now somewhere on this planet horrible things are happening? Tornadoes and earthquakes and all types of destruction are happening on this planet. You have to understand everything that happens on this planet is not God's will. How do you know that, Jeremiah? Let me explain to you. Jesus, when he was teaching his disciples how to pray, he said, pray like this. He said, pray that God's will would be done on earth as it is in heaven. What does that mean? How many know God's will is being done in heaven all the time? Do you know in heaven there's no cancer? Do you know in heaven there's no sickness, there's no disease, there's no poverty, there's no lack? You know in heaven you don't have to earn money? You know in heaven you walk on gold? In heaven, God's will is being perfectly done. And that's why Jesus taught his disciples. He said, pray that God's will would be done on earth as it is in heaven. So in order for God's will to be done on earth, we pray and we contend for the will of God. Okay? And so it's important to understand that. Now, the second thing to understand is since the fall of man, there's a curse that's been released upon this planet. How many of y'all, some people are born sick? How many of y'all, some people are born blind? Some people are born with horrible maladies and things happening in there. I was born with scoliosis. I actually had the umbilical cord wrapped around my neck when I was in my mother's womb. She had a car wreck and I almost died. And so there's chaos on earth right now. And because of the fall of man, everything is out of harmony and everything is out of order. So there's the element of the curse. And then the next thing is, how many know we have free will? Right? How many know that you have been impacted by somebody else's decisions? Good and bad. And how many know that's the product of free will? And how many know your decisions will impact somebody else's life, right? That's one of the things God has given to us. He's given us the ability to choose. So when we factor in that we live in a world that's fallen, we have free will, and then the final thing is this, we have an enemy that's invisible and he's trying to kill us. When you factor all of those things in, what we come to realize is that earth is a very difficult place. But the awesome thing about it is no matter what this world throws at you, if you will call upon the name of the Lord, he will rescue you. and he will set you free. And what he'll do is, like me, the brokenness that you've been through, you can now use to help other people. That's a big part of what I talk about, is all my brokenness and all my failure and all the challenging, all the warrants they had out for my arrest. I used to, you know, was running from the cops and all these types of things. These are the things that I now talk about, because these are the things that the Lord rescued me from. And so I just want to encourage you, no matter what pain that you've been through, no matter what abuse that you've been through, no matter what's taken place in your life, the Lord will heal you and he will set you free. But here's the one thing that he needs you to do. He just needs you to do this. He needs you to trust that he loves you. Because when we feel like he doesn't love us, what it does is it causes us to move away from him. Listen, God never moves away from you. But how many know we can move away from him? How many, that's what Adam and Eve did in the garden. They said they hid from God. Now, God still came down. God still wanted to hang out. God still loved them. But they hid from him because they felt like they had disappointed God. So the main thing God needs you to believe and understand is that he loves you, and that he's never going to reject you. He's never going to leave you. And that your sin was successfully taken care of, because it's through relationship that he's going to guide you into a good place. Who wants to be happy again? Okay, listen, the world can't make you happy. They just can't do it. Drugs can't make you happy. Sex can't make you happy. Riches can't make you happy. Popularity can't make you happy. You know, some of the most miserable people on the planet are famous people, because they're the most insecure people on the planet. They need everyone to like them to feel okay about themselves. This world can't make you happy, but God can make you happy. And it actually comes out of having a relationship with him. Letting him love you, letting him lead you, and letting him guide you. He's not mad at you. He's never been disappointed in you. He is for you, and he loves you. And he wants to bring freedom into your life. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. I don't want to preach long because it's hot, and you know, kids only have so much attention. So I don't want to wear them out. Yeah, let's do that. Let's bring the worship team up, please. And I'll just say this, if you've struggled, yeah, they do a great job. So thankful for them. Doing a great job. And let's all just stand to our feet here for a moment. And I shared a portion about depression. And I just, you know, if you struggle with depression or any of the things that I just talked about, I just want to give you an opportunity to come up for prayer. Yeah, absolutely. Please go. Yeah, go ahead.
Hey, I want to ask you guys something. Hey, all of you guys that were in the class this morning, I just leaned over to my wife and I said, you know, I said, everything that he has said tonight, you must have been in our class this morning, dude.
Praise God, that's awesome.
Because I'm telling you right now, everything, how many of you guys were in there? Do you remember any of the things that I talked about today?
That's awesome, man. Praise
did,
God.
Did he repeat any of it?
It's wonderful. That's our loving Father.
I mean, it's crazy. I shared with you that when you say things in church, when you're prophesying over people and talking to people and telling people things that there's no way you could have known unless it was the Holy Spirit.
Yeah, that's good, man.
I'm telling you right now, everything that's been said on this campus today is Holy Spirit led, because I'm telling you, everything that you have, I mean, we could have grown up as brothers, dude.
Wow.
Because of the testimony. Our testimonies are so much alike.
That's awesome.
But I'm telling you, everything that you spoke tonight is, I mean, literally almost word for word.
I love it.
What
awesome.
I shared in our class this
Praise
morning.
God, it's awesome,
I just
man.
Wanted these guys
no,
to know.
No, it's good, man.
He wasn't in the class this morning.
No, I wasn't. I was on a plane. But that's cool. That's the Holy Spirit. That's what he does. So if we have some counselors that want to come up and help pray. But if anybody struggle with depression, can you just lift your hand up and just be real honest with me? Yeah, can everyone who struggle with depression, let's all make a circle right here. Let's just come up here. Just come up. It's because I want to specifically pray for depression. So just come on up. Step in front of this line if you struggle with depression. Cool. Awesome. Thank you. Yeah, yeah. Oh, man. Look at you guys. God bless y'all, man. Man, let's all hug up. Let's all hug up on each other. Everybody, can y'all know how to do that? Let's all get in tight. Yeah. All right. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. Father, in Jesus' name, Lord, I thank you for these young people. We have come to the water of the well of salvation. And Lord God, I just thank you that it is your will that they be free from depression. In the name of Jesus, we thank you for a release of your spirit. I just take authority over darkness. I take authority over depression. I bind it. I break its power. I command it to be loosed off of these young people's lives. And Lord, I just thank you for the opening of their hearts, for the receiving of your spirit. I just thank you for the outpouring of freedom, for the outpouring of truth, for the outpouring, no more anxiousness, no more anxiety. Lord, we thank you for that, Father. We thank you for that. We thank you for that.